The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark. Glory to you, Lord Christ. John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ, born that we might live. Amen. So at this time, every year, in the our readings are given to us in a three-year cycle, but on this Sunday shortly after Christmas, right after the Feast of the Epiphany, we always remember Jesus' baptism. It's a story that is told in all the Gospels. We all know what a baptism looks like, but Jesus' baptism was different. And the question always arises to me is, what is the difference between Jesus' baptism and ours? Now, when Jesus came to John, John was offering a baptism of repentance. And we've talked about repentance many times, this opportunity to turn around our lives and to move back towards God when we have strayed. And the question then is, why did Jesus get baptized? Certainly, Jesus was not in need of repentance. Scripture proclaims that he was in every way as we are, yet without sin. And the scriptures are not clear, or not, they don't tell us specifically why he was baptized, but scholars over the centuries have conjectured. Perhaps he was there just to stand in with the nation of Israel, because certainly Israel had strayed from God. So Isaiah does indicate that the suffering servant will come and stand in for Israel, and perhaps that's why Jesus was baptized. He might have simply been aligning himself with the Jews of the day. Perhaps he was setting an example for us. But his was a baptism of repentance. It was different from ours. The understanding of ours would follow the resurrection. Our prayer book defines baptism as a sacrament by which God adopts us as his children. The sacrament by which God adopts us as his children. And makes us members of Christ's body, the church, and inheritors of the kingdom of God. We are a part of the inheritance. It also says that baptism is full initiation by water and the Holy Spirit into Christ's body, the church. Because we are, of course, the body of Christ in the world. And Paul makes that abundantly clear in his writings. There was a curious baptism long time ago, late 15th century, one of the czars of Russia, name was Ivan III, known perhaps more familiarly as Ivan the Great, was also called by some the gatherer of the Russian lands, because during his reign he was able to bring together into one body, more or less, some of the warring tribes of his vast empire. As a fighting man, he was courageous and heroic, but his gift seemed to be to bring peace to the land. However, he was so busy doing this that he had no family, and his advisors began to warn him, "You need an heir." So he said, "Well, go and find me a suitable wife, and I will marry her." So they went out to do just that. And with the suggestion, actually, of Pope Paul II in 1469, they reported to Ivan that they had found the right candidate for his bride. It was a beautiful daughter of the king of Greece. It's So Ivan agreed to marry her sight unseen. And the king of Greece was delighted. It would align Greece in a favorable way with this emerging giant of the north. But the king of Greece had one condition. Ivan had to be baptized. Unless he became a member of the Greek Orthodox Church, he could not marry the king's daughter. So Ivan agreed. So they sent a priest to Moscow to prepare Ivan for the baptism. He was a quick student, learned the catechism in short order. And arrangements were made, and he made his way to Athens with 500 of his best troops. This was his personal palace guard. He was to be baptized into the Orthodox Church by full immersion, as was the custom. We tend to sprinkle water. They go all the way in. Now his soldiers, ever loyal to the Tsar, said that they would like to be baptized as well. So the patriarch of the church assigned 500 priests to these 500 soldiers to prepare them for baptism. And when the time came, they all made their way to the Mediterranean Sea for the baptisms. And it must have been quite a sight, frankly. 500 soldiers and 500 priests all wading into the water. 1,000 people in the water for the baptism. And each was dressed according to his position. The priests wore their black robes and the tall black hats, the official dress of clergy in the Orthodox Church. And the soldiers were in their battle uniforms with full regalia, with ribbons and armament, what they would wear when they went to battle. This, it turned out, brought to light a problem. The Orthodox Church prohibited professional soldiers from being members. They would have to give up their commitment to bloodshed. They could not be killers and church members as well. So after a quick round of diplomacy, the problem was solved quite simply. As the words were spoken by the priests and the baptisms were begun, each soldier would reach to his side and pull his sword, and lifting it high overhead, they would be totally immersed, everything except for the fighting arm and the sword. They were baptized, in their estimation, in part, not the arm with the sword. An unbaptized arm is a curious thing. It's a powerful picture, frankly, of how many of us understand our relationship with the divine. We come to God and we'll say, I will give God part of me, but I'm not really ready to give God all of me. Not ready to go in with all that I am. Maybe we think God will accept the part of me that I offer, but not the part that I don't want to show or refuse to get help for or are ashamed of. Why would I want to give that to God? I want to withhold a piece of myself. I want to hold that arm out of the water. This is simply in stark contrast to our understanding of baptism. You cannot have an unbaptized part of your body, or your life, or your being. Remember that definition. It is a sacrament by which God adopts us as His children. You cannot adopt a portion of a person. And the concept of fullness works in both ways. We give our all to the baptism, and in the baptism, God gives all to us. We are inheritors with Christ Jesus of the kingdom. There is no partial baptism, no partial member of the body of Christ. Now, I could go on for a long time about baptism, but I will spare you that. I want to just make two points about baptism that are helpful to me to remind myself of, frankly. The first is the challenge of baptism and the challenge of what the baptized life is called to do. We will renew our baptismal vows shortly, and I encourage you to pay attention to what you say. You've done this before, you've done it many times. And what you will commit to is to be a regular part of a worshiping community. You will commit to work to resist evil And when you repent to return to God, you will commit to proclaim Jesus Christ with your words and with your life. You will commit to seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving your neighbor as yourself, and you will commit to work tirelessly for justice and peace in the world, respecting the dignity of every human being. This is the challenge of baptized, what the baptized life is called to do. But there's also a gift of baptism, and this is what the baptized life is made to be. Baptism is the sacrament by which God adopts us as His children. Full initiation by water and the Holy Spirit into Christ's body, the church. It's a simple proclamation, really. Every baptized person is a part of the body of Christ. And that has tremendous implications. You will recall, as Jesus came up out of the water, Mark tells us that God spoke and said to Jesus, "You are my son. I love you. I am well pleased with you." You are a member of that body. And those words come to the members of the body of Christ. "You are my child. I love you. With you I am well pleased." And it repeats. And we need to hear it. A story about a man who went in to get a job as a Morse code operator back in the days when the telegraph was the fastest way to send a message. And he went into the offices and found a lot of people waiting in a large room, and it was busy, people sitting around filling out forms, and there was a Morse code operator going on in the background doing his work. And after a couple minutes, this man stood up, walked over to the office, opened the door, and went in and shut the door behind him. And the rest of the people were thinking, this is a little odd, but I am certain that he is being so upfront that he will never get hired for this job, so everything will be okay. But shortly after that, out of the office came the interviewer, and he told the people, "Thank you all very much for coming, but the job has been filled by this young man. Thank you for your application." And they said, "I don't understand. How is it that he got the interview and got the job? I've been here longer than he has. It's not fair." And the employer said, "All the time you've been sitting here, the telegraph has been ticking out the following message in Morse code. If you understand this message, then come right in. The job is yours. None of you heard it or understood it. This young man did, so the job is his." He sat down and he listened and he heard over and over again the message that he needed to hear. This is how we need to listen for that voice of God. We are members of the body of Christ, and God is telling us, "You are my child. I love you. I am well pleased with you." It's a message that plays over and over against the hustle and the bustle of this world. We've just come through the holidays and we are inundated with so much. But in amidst all those messages is God saying, "You are my child. I love you." They're baptized into the body. These words for Jesus. As members of Jesus, they are also for you. "You are my child. And with you I am well pleased, and I love you." Amen.